So this morning, I want to kind of shift gears now, and I want to actually land the plane on a sermon series that we've been in for quite some time. We have been preaching through this series called This Is Us, and over the last several weeks, we've been talking more and more about change and what does change look like in our lives. And so I want to start with a question today, and as I mostly every Sunday do, and I want to honestly give you a chance to think about this very serious question. Have you ever stopped to think about what your life will look like in 5 years? Just take your age, add 5 years, and I want you to think about the what your life will look like in 5 years. And there's four different categories I want you to consider. And there's many more that we could talk about, but let's start with four different categories. In 5 years, let's start with your spiritual life. And as you consider who you are today in your spiritual life, what's the trajectory going to take you to in 5 years? What will it look like? For some of you, you might say, based on what I'm doing right now, my life is going in a direction that is spiritual. I'm closer to God. I'm in the Word of God. My prayer life has taken a turn, and it is good. It's rich. I'm in fellowship with other believers that are encouraging me. There's accountability in my life. And you might say, in 5 years, my spiritual life may be at the peak that it's ever been, maybe even further along than it's ever been. But for some of you, you might say, I'm spiritually in a dark place right now. Maybe even some of you joining us online might say, it's difficult right now for me to pray. Maybe there's some pain in your life. There's some things that are happening that are keeping you from really rooting yourself in Scripture. And you might say, 5 years from now, I'm not sure where I'm going to be spiritually. What about in your relationships? What about in your friendships, the people you surround yourself with? 5 years from now, you might say you're developing great, God-honoring friendships. You're going to be stronger as an individual because of these relationships. You're sharpening one another. There's an iron sharpening iron dynamic. You've got rich friendships. Or maybe you might say, some of my friends aren't that great. They're not very good influences on my life. There's no impact that's spiritual in them. There's no accountability. In 5 years, what will your friendships look like? What if you're married? You might say, based on where you are right now, you could be closer than you've ever been before based on the intimacy, the love that you have for your spouse. You might say that there's a level of intimacy that is propelling us towards a good reality in 5 years. Or you might say into your dating relationship or your marriage that right now we are struggling. We don't feel that there's trust between us, or our intimacy has been broken for whatever reason. You're even maybe fighting to stay married. And for some of you right now, when you look down the road at 5 years, you're not sure where your marriage is going to end up. What about financially? A big conversation around finances. Where do you see yourself in 5 years financially? Do you see yourself on a trajectory of being debt-free? Woohoo! That would be awesome, right? Debt-free with no more student loans, no more car payments, no more credit card payments. You've got financial margin. You've been able to be more generous than you ever have before. Or are you in a place where you're still on a path of living paycheck to paycheck? Maybe your debt will grow. Maybe your financial pressure will go. Maybe you'll find yourself worse off in 5 years than right now. It's a real question. What about physically? The temple, the Holy Spirit, your bodies that God has given you, where will you be 5 years from now? There is great news that, believe it or not, no matter how old you are, how young you are, you can actually be stronger and healthier in 5 years. Based on your trajectory right now, where will you be? Will you be stronger, healthier, able to do more, or will you be on a trajectory of gaining weight, being less healthy, being less energetic, able to do less? I want to stop for a moment and think about the big categories of life, and I want you to ask yourself in a serious way, at the depth of who you are, where do you think your life will be 5 years from now? What do you think your life will look like? Now, I want to say that there are always external factors, things that are out of our control that impact this conversation, that impact this outcome. There's things that are out of our control that we cannot change. And maybe even if you look back at your lives over the last 5 years, you would say, there's been some serious health dynamics I couldn't control, and it's impacted who I am today. There are certainly always things like that. However, for the most part, we can predict with some level of accuracy what our lives will look like in 5 years. Why? Because the habits that we have today shape who we become tomorrow. It's what we've been talking about now for several weeks. The habits you have today will shape who you and I become tomorrow. Somebody said this interesting phrase that you may or may not agree with. But they said, when you're born, newborn baby, you look like your parents, right? But when you die, you look like your habits. Think about that. When you die, you look like the habits that you've kept in your entire life. Because the way that you're living today shapes who you become tomorrow. And you know it's true because who you are today, for the most part, is a reflection of the habits you've had over the last 5 years. And it stands to reason and to think about the next 5 years will shape what we look like, who we are, what we value. For the most part, with some exceptions, based on external factors, for the most part, the habits that we have today will shape who we become tomorrow. So my question for you is this. Do you like the direction your habits are taking you? Do you like the direction that your habits are taking you? Do you like the trajectory of your life based on your current habits? Because intentions don't determine direction. No matter what you want doesn't determine what you become. Hope doesn't change your life alone. Habits do. Intentions don't determine direction. Your habits determine direction. Now, in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, which we'll have on the screen, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, that's our sinful nature. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap, the scripture says, destruction. Whoever those sows to please not the flesh, but to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Paul said, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Paul's words are incredibly strong, and he's simply giving us two options to consider with our lives as we strive to follow Christ. He says the first one is this: if you're sowing to the flesh, in other words, if your habits or your lifestyle reflects the sinful nature, from that you will reap destruction. It leads to a path of pain. On the other hand, if you sow the seeds of habits of the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. This is a serious statement. Destruction and death, or eternal life and godliness. If this seems to be heavy, it's because it is. Because it's true, you will reap what you sow. Do you like the direction that your habits are taking you? Do you like the harvest that's coming because of the seeds that you're sowing? Now, I want to take just a minute. I want to review where we've been the last several weeks. We have some new people in the room, and I always think it's also good for all of us to put this whole thing in a frame of mind. Okay, where have we been? I talked about this series. This is based on, it's called This Is Us. And it's based on our new mission, vision, and values document. We spend the whole month of March talking about our mission. And now we've leaned into the very first part of our vision statement, which calls us as a church. New City's vision is to be a catalyst for Christ-like change. And we've said in order for us as a congregation to serve the wider Edina community beyond, we also need to be open to God changing us first. And that's why this conversation has taken such a deep root in our conversations on Sunday morning. So if we go back to the first week, and we learned this very important principle that real and lasting change isn't behavior modification. What is it? It's spiritual transformation. If you change just the behavior, but you don't let God change your heart, the behavior will come back. Real and lasting change, it's not just trying to change, it's spiritual transformation by the power of God. In the second week, we talked about our identity, which I love to talk about. Why do you do what you do? It's based on your identity. And primarily, remember this phrase, we said you do what you do because of what you think of you. It's an identity statement. The first week, we started with a spiritual who, who is it that God is calling us to be? We started with identity. And if you want to change what you do, you change how you think of you. And in this second week, we looked at the spiritual why. We don't just change things because we want to be more wealthy or healthier. We want to change because we want to honor God with how we live. We have a spiritual who, and we have a spiritual why. And the following week then, last week, we looked at our spiritual what. That's where the habits come in. And we answered the question based on who you want to become. What is one habit? This was the challenge from last week. Everybody hear this. What was one habit that you changed this week based on who you want to become? And then we have, when we have the right habits, it reinforces this godly identity that helps us to become more like Christ. So we have a spiritual who, we have a spiritual why, and we have the spiritual what. And now we close the series with the spiritual impact on our lives. How you live will determine who you become. And over time, the seeds that you're sowing today will bring about a harvest in the future. The habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. It's in the Word of God. It's in Galatians 6. And let's just call these the laws of sowing and reaping. It's in Galatians 6. It's in the scripture that we just opened up. It's the laws of sowing and reaping. They're laws, and laws are always true. God actually established them, all right? It's like the law of gravity. If I were to jump off of this stage, which I'm not going to do, I would go down, right? Gravity would pull me down. I wouldn't go up. It's a law. It's always true. These are laws that are always true based on the laws of sowing and reaping. And law number one, based on Galatians 6, is that you will reap what you sow. Law number one is you reap what you sow. It stands to reason. This is not rocket science, but if you have a certain type of seed and you sow it, you will reap a certain type of plant. If you plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. You don't get grapes, right? It's very obvious. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. To understand what you reap is what you sow. In other words, if you plant godly habits, you will reap godly outcomes. And the opposite is true as well. If you're living ungodly habits, you will reap ungodly outcomes. In fact, Scripture says in Hosea chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "But you have planted wickedness and you have reaped evil." You reap what you sow. If your habits are always bad, your harvest will be no good. If you're late to work every day and you have a half-hearted attitude about your job, and then you say, "Well, I want to be promoted," but you've got this bad attitude every day, you're not likely to get promoted, right? This is no new news to us. It's not because you weren't promotable. It's not because you didn't have the qualifications or the ability. It's because your habits didn't earn the attention of those around you. If you sow seeds of lust all the time, you look at porn, you objectify women, and you wonder why there's a break in intimacy in your marriage, it's not because your marriage isn't good or doesn't have the ability to be good. It's because you sowed the wrong kind of seed and you're reaping a bad harvest. Same thing with all of us physically. If you eat anything you want, which is something I struggle with from time to time, if you eat anything you want and you never exercise and you drink a six-pack of beer on Saturday and you don't have a six-pack of abs, there's a reason why. It's not because you're being punished. It's because your habits aren't that great, right? This is not an indictment on you. This is us together, okay? So there's no finger pointing here. Law number one is you reap what you sow. If you don't like what you're reaping, then change what you're sowing. If you don't like what you're getting back, look at what you're planting in the ground. If you don't like it in your relationships, look at the seeds that you're sowing. If you don't like what's happening in your life financially, look at how you're living. If you don't like where you are spiritually, look at what you're investing in your life spiritually. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Law number one is you reap what you sow. And to the seniors who we just prayed over a minute ago, to you graduating seniors going on to college, starting this launch pad of life, this principle is especially true for you. And Caleb and James and Kira, who just walked out for a minute, as you leave the nest of safety of your home, this law will never be more true than it will be in the next year. You will reap what you sow. If you put godly relationships in your lives as a freshman in college, you will reap what you sow. You will see the fruit of those things. If you get connected to a spiritual community, go to church, join a small group, go to a college university group, you will see the benefits of reaping those, of sowing those seeds. You will see the reap in your life. And I want to encourage you to do those things. Law number one is you reap what you sow. Law number two is you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. Because when you sow, what does God do? Like God does with everything, God multiplies it. He multiplies it. Scripture says in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, it says this, "And the seed that fell in the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown, what was planted." One seed, and we talked about this last fall when we talked about Deidre's mustard seed. Some of you were in the room for that. One seed can reap 100 times more than when it was planted. You plant a seed and you get a tree, and that tree creates fruit, and the fruit has more seeds. And you take those seeds and you plant hundreds more seeds in the ground, and you get more fruit from the trees and the seeds that you sow. And this is true in every area of your life. Maybe you're someone who's nice to a lot of people. Maybe you're a great neighbor, and every one of your neighbors knows that you are nice to them. Guess what they're going to do to you? They're also going to return you with that same generosity. It's a rule of multiplication. And the opposite is true. Maybe you're the grumpy old neighbor who tells kids to get off your grass, like I sometimes do, and you're like grumpy to everybody. Guess what? They're going to return you with grumpiness as well. It's the same in marriage. It's the same in a dating relationship. If you treat your spouse, and Marie will tell you this is incredibly true of me, if I treat her with honor and dignity and respect, and I show her love and affection and I listen, guess what she does with me? She returns that blessing. And I think it's probably true in a lot of our relationships where if we do the opposite, we're having a tough day, we treat our spouse or our loved ones with grumpiness or different contempt, it's probably going to come back in the same way. You reap more than you sow. There's a book called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. The Compound Effect. It's written by an author named Darren Hardy. I'm not an expert on it, but this I'm going to say a phrase that sort of summarizes the entire book. Stay with me on this. He teaches, and I love equations, so this geeks me out a little bit. He teaches that small, smart choices plus consistency plus time equal a radical difference. I'm going to say it again. It's on the screen. You need to capture this. Small, smart choices plus consistency plus time equals a radical difference. The Compound Effect, written by Darren Hardy. And he tells in his book, and he gives an illustration that I'd like to use for you today. It's just an illustration. I'm not teaching about drinking wine. However, that's what the illustration is about. Everybody nod your head so I know you're with me, okay? Thank you very much, Caleb. He's nodding his head back there. Good job. He talks about a person who loves to drink wine, okay? Some of us in the room like to drink wine. But he talks about how a glass of wine carries about 125 calories in every glass, give or take, okay? 125 calories in every glass of wine. And he talks about this person who has two options. One option is that person drinks a glass of wine every single night. That's just what they do. In fact, there was a study that came out in like the 90s that a glass of wine is good for your heart or something like that. Well, this person believed that, and they drank that glass of wine, 125 calories, every single night. And then there was this other person that decided not to drink the glass of wine every single night. Okay, so one person adding the glass of wine to their diet, the other person subtracting the glass of wine. Based on the calories and the math, if you take the long view and you look at down the road what this looks like, you're talking about over 27 months, okay? So just over 2 years, based on 125 calories, there is a 33.5-pound difference. The person who drinks the glass of wine, one glass every night, will have the possibility of gaining 33 more pounds, while the other person, he says, has the opportunity to lose that weight, depending on other factors in their life, because they're not adding these empty calories. The guy who loves to drink the wine hypothetically could have gained 33.5 pounds over 27 months compared to the guy who never consuming the wine could have lost that much weight. And when you take the long view on these things, these habits, these seeds that we sow, the statistics are remarkable. Now let's take that example and let's talk about a spiritual dynamic to it, a spiritual discipline example. Take the same guy, two different scenarios, and let's use the example of the spiritual discipline of attending church. Attending church. So scenario number one, there's this guy and he's inconsistent in his attendance in church. He's inconsistent in his relationships with other people in a spiritual context. There's not a lot of accountability in his life, right? There's not a lot of encouragement. He doesn't have the ability to invest missionally together with other people. He's inconsistent in his life, and he actually feels guilty about it. And so at night, he stays up late at night wishing he was better, wishing that he wasn't living this inconsistent life that he had. And so he decides to drink a glass of wine. And per his habit, that one glass of wine turns into two glasses of wine. Maybe he's not that close to God in the moment because he's been drifting, and maybe he's feeling guilty, and maybe he slips back into looking at stuff on his phone or his computer or his iPad that he shouldn't, and he's inconsistent, and it compounds into things that he's simply not proud of. Now, scenario number two, the other guy is consistent in going to church. He's consistent in being in relationship with other believers, hold them accountable to growth, to going deeper in their lives. The other guy is consistent in participating missionally in what's going on. He even signed up to serve at DBS in August, right? There's a consistency to this person. He's in a small group. He prays. He's finding himself wanting to dig in and dig deeper in his spiritual life, and he's reading his scripture, and he's moving in the right direction. And here's the important thing about the long view. Check this out. If you take these two scenarios and you put them side by side, you will see very little difference after the first week. You'll see very little difference even after the first month. But after 27 months, when we take the long view in our lives and we look at these small habits based on these two scenarios, you will see a remarkable difference. After 27 months, you will see an incredible difference. Of course, some of this story is subjective, and I'm just using it as an illustration with you, but think about it. At 27 months, the guy who's been inconsistent, he's added a glass of wine, at least one, which adds 125 calories to his life every day. For 27 months, that's 117,000 more calories than the other guy. And he will have gained 33.5 more pounds simply by adding that one glass of wine, feeling distant from God. He's losing confidence. He's struggling at work. He's overlooked for a promotion. He has more financial pressure at home. His wife says he's distant from the family. He maybe slips into bad behaviors, things that he shouldn't do, all because it started with an inconsistency. Take the second person who's consistent in church. He's serving. He's closer to God than ever before, all because he made this one decision in his life to be consistent in a spiritual discipline. Some of this is subjective, but the part of the weight is not. All of these things add up over time, and it explains this principle that it's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do with consistency. It's small, consistent habits done over time that equal either a positive result, or if you're planting the wrong kind of seeds, it equals a negative result. If you don't like what you're reaping today, change what you're sowing. Because the bottom line is not only do you reap what you sow, but you reap more than you sow. Law number three, and the final one we'll talk about today, is you reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap after. You reap in a different season. If you plant seeds in the fall, you don't reap them in the fall. You reap them in the spring, right? I'm actually learning this the hard way right now as we prepare for Caleb's graduation party. Our yard is a mess from the winter. The shoveling along the driveway, all the dog spots, whatever. I'm trying to get grass to grow, and it is going really slow, right? Even with now the sunshine coming out, hopefully we can get it ready for the party in June. But I want it to go faster, but it's not going faster. And this is the very reason we sometimes get discouraged. The reason we sometimes get so discouraged is that we don't see progress by our habits fast enough. At least I get discouraged. You probably don't, right? But I do. You pray every day for 5 straight days. You're diligent in reading your Bible, and you're like, God, answer my prayer. And when he doesn't, or doesn't the way that we think he should, we're like, God, I'm praying, I'm being consistent. Why isn't it happening right now? Or you might go to the gym every day for 2 weeks, and at the end of going to the gym for 2 weeks, you still can't run a whole mile without stopping and taking a break, or whatever your fitness goal might be. And you're going, what's wrong with me? I've been working out for 14 days. It's not long enough. Or you're paying off debt. You've got a student loan or a car loan. You owe $37,500, and so you're like, I'm going to give up coffee this month, and I'm going to save myself $100, which is about what some people's coffee budget is, right? And you take that extra $100, and you put it on that student loan, and guess what you owe now? $37,400. And it feels like a very little dent has been made. And we wrongly conclude, and I do this all the time, that small decisions don't matter that much. But we have to understand that for the most part, and this is so important, it will be on the screen, our lives are the sum total of all the small decisions we make. Because in every action we take, we are choosing a direction. We are choosing what direction we will go with every single small decision. It's not intentions that determine direction, it's the habits that we have that change our lives. So, friends, who do you want to become? Who is God calling you to be? Who is the type of person that you want to be? This is a question for you and God to spend some serious time together and ask. What kind of mom do I want to be? What kind of friend do I want to be? What kind of husband do I want to be? What kind of church member or attender do I want to be? What do I want to do as I get older? What do I want to do as I leave for college? What is it that I want to do in my life? Because when we ask those questions, we realize that the habits that we keep to get there matter. It's not a selfish question. It's a spiritual why. Who is God calling you to be? And what sort of seeds will you sow to get there? And so, based on what you want to become, what habit will you start? And based on who you want to become, what habit do you need to stop? Because what we plant, we will reap. And what you reap, you will sow. And the way that we're living today will impact who we become. It will impact what we have. It will impact what kind of difference we can make. It will impact how you feel inside. It will impact how you impact other people in your life. I think it's a really interesting question to ask. So are we successful if we finally hit the goal 5 years from now? I was a youth pastor for a long time. One of my favorite things to talk to teenagers about was taking the long view in your life. Make decisions at 15 that you're going to be proud of when you're 25, right? Is the conversation and question really so different when we get older? I think sometimes we think, oh, that's a youth ministry conversation. No, actually, it's your conversation now. You might be 80 years old. What impact do you want to have over the next 5 years? And do you judge the success based on that five-year goal? Absolutely not. The success comes from the seeds that you sow now. When we look at the seeds that we sow now, that's how we judge whether we're hitting our goal or not. You may find an incredible outcome in 5 years. I hope that's the case. But we judge success based on the seeds we sow now. We're sowing righteousness. We're being consistent. We're focused on God-honoring living that added up over time equals a harvest of righteousness. It equals relationships that honor God. It equals a ministry and a legacy, something that you can be proud of. It equals financial strength and generosity. It equals a God-honoring body, the best of what he gives us, what we are sowing to honor him with our wise choices. And we do this so we can live for his full glory in all that we do. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You will reap what you sow, and you will reap more than you sow, and you will reap after you sow. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. What happens when we together choose to live faithfully for Jesus over time? The Holy Spirit of God starts to change us at the deepest part of our souls. Who we are at the innermost person begins to change. And from the outside world, everyone who knows you, sees you, works with you on a daily basis, your kids, your parents, those people that know you well from the outside world, the inner work might look easy. And we all know it's not. We know that the inner work is not easy. The outward fruit that is produced by this sort of living takes time and it takes consistency. And all that you've done, all the holy changes that you've made your life, what is never seen is you daily renewing your mind with righteousness. What is never seen is you overcoming self-doubt and praying and fasting and seeking God and depending on Him. People never see those things. And when you're weak, you still depend on Him. People don't see that. You're repenting of your sins and you're seeking the Lord. Even when life is hard, when you fall down, you get back up again because that's what your habits have called you to do. You're enduring criticism because your identity is found in God, not in how the world defines you. You grind it out and you're faithful and you're persistent and you're consistently faithful in the small things because it's the small things, hear this, that no one else sees that brings about the results that everybody wants. And we talk about being a community that's a catalyst for Christ-like change. It begins in the smallest ways for us as a congregation. You're sowing seeds in your life, and God is watering it, and over time, you will reap a harvest of righteousness. Don't give up. Don't stop planting. Don't stop sowing. Don't stop believing. Don't stop allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. Don't stop turning your way back to God. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It takes work. It won't be overnight, but you will reap a harvest of righteousness for the glory of God if you don't give up. So the invitation, as we close today, is to ask this question. What do you want your life to look like in 5 years? Because when you were born, you looked like your mom and dad. But someday when we all will die, we will look like our habits. Do you like the direction your habits are taking you? If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Plant the right God-honoring seeds. Focus on the right habits and know that faithfully over time, God's principles are true. You will reap a harvest of righteousness if you don't give up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may be true of us individually and as a church. Would you pray with me? God, we love you and we thank you for your word that is so sweet, it is so rich, it is so good. We thank you even for the hard indictments of Scripture that remind us that a life of destruction is just a couple decisions away. And at the same time, a life of holiness, a life of impact, a life that shows your glory, a life that matters not only to our families, to us, but to other people, is also just a couple of really good decisions away. God, I want to pray that for each of us, myself included, that you would point out those habits in our lives, those seeds that we sow that are unhealthy. That you would give us the courage to get rid of them, to stop planting those seeds, and that, Father, in the name of Jesus, you would show us the better path, the better seeds to sow, the better harvest to reap. Help us to take the long view in our lives, God, and I pray that even together as a church, as we make important decisions together, that we would focus on these small, still decisions that make us a faithful congregation to your word. Even as we call new leadership team members today in our mealtime downstairs, Father, would you bless those conversations as small seeds that have been sown? We ask, God, that you would give us an incredible direction. Father, we love you, and we pray that everything that we do in our lives and in this church would point to your glory. Thank you for your love and your generosity. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.